Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome. Thank you for coming this morning. My name is Teresa Moyer. I am the associate pastor here at Conshohocken Vineyard Church. We're so glad to start this new year off together this morning. Well, we made it. We crossed the great divide from 2020 into 2021, and it's been interesting to read my friends and family's comments over the past 3 or 4 days online. You know, some are grateful for what they've learned in 2020. Some are waxing quite poetical. Some are just saying, good riddance, let it be gone. But however we look at it, I think it's safe to say that we're all ready for a fresh start, a new beginning. People love a clean slate. The idea of starting things fresh. The ads are already starting to capitalize on this as they push the latest diets, workout programs, health products, you name it. Whatever we think will give us what we crave for a better life. And advertisers know we're primed for a change. Most of us love to use a new year or even a new beginning of a month or even a week, if necessary, to start something that we've been putting off or something that we've been wanting to do or something that we believe God is calling us to do. But I've learned that I do not do resolutions. They have never been very effective for me, and I have decided I don't need to say I'm going to do something that ultimately is only going to cause me shame down the road. Over the past few years, I've been into something a little bit better, and I want to share it with you. Are you ready for a new beginning? 2021, we don't need to wait for a new year to do it because God says his mercies are new for us every morning. His steadfast love fuels us for whatever we are hoping to accomplish each day. So rather than waiting for a new year or month or even a new week, every day I ask God for his love and his mercies, his compassions, his help to fuel the changes in my life that I want to see, and I believe he wants to see for me. And it's been working so much better for me over the past couple of years than any New Year's resolution ever has. Have you ever considered God's love as fuel for your life? About 10 years ago, God sat me down, and one of the very few times that I've actually heard his voice this clearly, and he said, sit down, I need to tell you something. And so I did. I sat down in the back of the church, and he said, Teresa, you must receive the truth of my love for you. It is the very fuel that I will use for what I'm calling you to do in your life. And for 10, 20 years, he'd been trying to get me to fully receive the truth that he loved me. See, God knows love makes us strong. Love makes us confident. Love makes us brave. Love helps us face what seems impossible and persevere. Knowing we are loved is power. Knowing we're loved by a powerful God who is our Father can give us wings. And God loves us so much. It is his joy to show us his love and his mercies fresh every single day. Are you familiar with that scripture? Many people know this. God's mercies are new every morning. Do you know who wrote that scripture? The man who wrote those words was the prophet Jeremiah. And if you know his story, you know his life situation was miserable. Everyone hated him because of the difficult message God asked him to preach to Judah. And the people of Judah responded to his warnings by beating him, putting him in stocks, throwing him into a pit, a cistern with no food or fresh water, partially submerged in mud. But Jeremiah knew the love of the Father God, and that's why during this most difficult life, he could write this. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You feel like you need a new start? God's steadfast, empowering love never ceases to flow, and his help is new every morning. And if you still want to go the resolution route, if it doesn't work out for you by the end of next week, you don't have to wait for another month or another year to make a change. Just ask God for his mercies, which will be new for you every day. So today on the clean slate of 2021, we start a new series focusing on the love of the Father. We're going to go back to the foundations of our faith and take a fresh look at God the Father and the great and steadfast love he has for those of us who look to his Son, Jesus, to pay for our sins, to supply all our needs, to keep the love for God and love for others flowing, and to give our lives fruit that lasts eternally. Let's just pray together. Father, I thank you that most of our lives are not like Jeremiah's, but we do struggle, and we do need your help and your mercies and your compassions every day. So my prayer today, Lord, is that you, like, will do for everyone in our community what you have been doing for me, that you will break the false narratives in our minds of who the Father God is and what his love looks like. Would you come and do that in us today, Lord, and through the next several weeks and through this year, so that we can more fully flow in the fuel of the love you have for us. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. So the sermon title for this week is The Love of the Father, Our Source for Life. We're going to take another look at that scripture with a different translation. The NIV says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. So today we're going to focus on the power of God's great love as the source of our lives. This great love is what keeps us from being consumed by what the world dishes out. Fully receiving and accepting the love of God is what fuels our lives in his kingdom. There's no greater power on earth. Scripture says love never fails. Yet, most of my adult life, I've seen people struggle with accepting and receiving this reality, myself included, as I mentioned. If it's true that we, through Jesus, have full access to the love of God the Father, then why do so many of us struggle with our relationships with God and with others? Why do we so often feel stuck in a muddy pit? I'm going to tell you a personal story to unpack this a little bit, and some of you have heard this story before, but it bears repeating, and it won't be the last time you hear it, I'm sure. As my dad was aging, getting probably 89, near his 90th birthday, I called him one day and I said, Dad, what have you been thinking about these days? What's on your mind? I wanted to know what people think about as they're facing going to heaven. And he said, you want to know what I've been thinking about? He said, Teresa, I have realized that life boils down to two things. And these are the only things that matter. One, to know you are loved by God. And two, to love him in return. Now, this was a new revelation for my dad in his upper years. See, what I had seen most of his life was him trying to prove his own love to God and his faithfulness to God and to others, to show God that he was worthy of the love that he was hoping to get. I mean, this is kind of what Moses commanded, right? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And Jesus affirmed that this was the greatest commandment and added that the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Most of us, I believe, people believe that this is what God expects of them. And most of us try to do it every day. But we often fall short. We try... but we find ourselves failing to love others, failing to love ourselves, and even failing to love God with all our hearts, minds, and souls. How can we love others as ourselves if we don't love ourselves at all? And if we don't know the great love of God, how can we enter into love? In my years in the church, I've noticed that this effort that people put out has caused a lot of shame, a lot of fear, a lot of irritation, some futility, shutdown. Some people have just given up. This is too hard. What God asks and expects of us is too much, and I just don't believe it's worth it. So today, we're going to take a new look at this through the eyes of God's faithful love and fresh mercies. Clearly, this commandment is important to God. It's number one on Jesus' top two commandments, and the second commandment seems to flow out of the first. But many of us think we equally stink at both. And the sense of futility can sap our lives and our relationships of strength and of energy, even our relationship with God himself. And before we know it, we're running on empty. And our perspective on who God is and what he expects of us is damaged. We can end up resenting the very one who loves us more than life itself. And this was more often than not my own reality. I don't want any of us going into this new year already built, burnt out, when supply is always available. So what's the answer? Well, today we're going to look at a writing by John the Apostle, who called himself the one Jesus loved. He makes it super clear if we have ears to hear. We're going to look at a chunk of 1 John chapter 4 together. So if you have your Bibles, you can find 1 John is towards the back of the New Testament, one of the last five books of the Bible. And John's going to show us that God himself is the solution to our dilemma of living out his great commandments. I'm going to be putting it up here on the screen if you don't have a Bible with you, so it'll be there for you. We're going to start at verse 15. John says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, then God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. I could end the whole sermon right here. We have the living God in us. We are like Jesus was on the earth, full of his Holy Spirit. His very Spirit abides in us. And we, like Jesus, can rely on the love that God has for us, not just to get us to heaven, but to show us new mercies and compassions for every day. And his love becomes the very fuel that we live on. God's great love is fuel for our lives. I've spent decades trying to absorb this truth. And if you know me, you know it's been a real struggle for me to accept the great love of the Father. But I promise you, if we can learn to trust and rely on the love that God has for us, and in us as our fuel, I know that love will enable us to love God with all our hearts, to love ourselves as he loves us, and to love others the way we have been loved. But so many remain running on empty because we haven't learned how to receive the love God is trying to pour into us. In relation to God, we can see our lives as obligated and commanded to obey, as if the resource is within us. Well, actually, it is within us, but it isn't us. See, God offers us a much better way. Let's see what other clues John can give us about how God wants to fuel us with his love. John goes on to say, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. You see, the resource is within us, but we are not the resource. God lives in us, and we live in him. He alone is our resource for love, for himself, for ourselves, and for others. His great love is the fuel for our lives. John goes on to say, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So here's another clue. There's no fear in love. There is fear in us. Fear of disappointing others. Fear of rejection. Fear of irrelevance. Fear of failure. You name it. Fears abound in the hearts and minds of those who are living life with God. Why? Well, John makes it clear we've not yet reached the fullness of receiving his great love. We are not made perfect or mature in love. And that's not a condemnation. That's an assessment. We haven't yet learned how to receive and be full of his great and powerful love fuel. Without that love, we can walk in fear. See, we have the power to block his love, just like we have the power to block or resist any love flowing into or out of us. The fuel of God's love, like water, is kinetic. It moves and it flows and it impacts everything it touches. Think of it this way. God's great love is like fresh, clean drinking water, fuel for our lives. We can't live well without fresh, clean drinking water. His fuel has the ability to gush into our hearts, to refresh us, to flood us with transforming power and overflow out of us to others. Is it any wonder that water is mentioned in the Bible 722 times? And many of these references are describing God himself, his word, his presence, his transforming power. This great love makes the impossible possible, the unattainable attainable, the unthinkable a reality. How can we love like God asks us to love? Well, John makes it very clear. We love because he first loved us. He is the fuel for love in our lives. His great love enables us to love him, and in time, the overflow of that mutual love pours out of us to others. I think this has always been his plan, even back when he gave that command in Deuteronomy. He knew we couldn't be like him without becoming like Jesus, without the very love of God flowing through us and fueling our lives. He knew. And this is how love is made complete among us, so that we'll have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are made like Jesus. Just like Jesus, we have God's Holy Spirit living in us, daily offering us the fuel of his beautiful love, to nourish us, to strengthen, to empower, to cleanse us into a full life in him. And through his love, fear loses its destructive power. Now let's imagine God fuels us like water flowing through these pipes. His love moves into the plumbing of our hearts. It's kinetic. When access to our hearts is open, it flows into us, fuels us, and in time, the overflow can and should be able to flow through us to others. When I was young in Christ, this was very easy for me. In my 20s, I was in grad school. I just loved loving people. And I had a friend come up to me and say, "Teresa, if you keep loving people the way you do, you're going to burn out." And I said, "You don't know my source. You see, as long as I keep this pipe open, this pipe always can flow." It was very easy before life got complicated. Life on this planet has a way of clogging the pipeline. Too much other stuff can flow in and get stuck. Stuff that clutters and clogs our hearts. But God is greater, and the love of God is steadfast, never ceasing to flow into our lives, even through the hairy, fearful clogs. Some of that water gets in, enough to survive sometimes, and some of it can even drip through us in little droplets onto others, but the clogs really minimize the flow of receiving and giving his love. Then we start using our own resources, and we can get burned out. Imagine those hairy clogs are the fears in our lives. Well, perfect love drives out fear. With enough inward flowing of the living water, those clogs can be flushed out. But if the flow is blocked, the fearful clutter gathers in there. But perfect love drives out fear. Neglecting those clogs of negative emotions, resisting the love of God, can lead to backup, though. With little or no inflow of fresh water, stale water, rancid water can cause erosion and deterioration of the heart. And those hearts can end up looking more like this. The water just leaks out through the corrosion. And some folks have altogether hardened their hearts to God's love, often because of pain, disappointment, anger, bitterness. They end up with piping that looks more like this, calcified and hardened. So only a small stream of God's love, if any, can get in, and very little transformation or outflow will occur. Sometimes there's no opening at all, and God's love just pours out over the vessel and doesn't make any change in their lives because their hearts are hardened to him That's what happened in Jeremiah's day. And that's the reason God had to send his word through him the way he did. But God's love is steadfast and can do it if a heart is willing to yield and cooperate with him. He gives us great tools to help us access his flowing love again. Tools of confession, repentance, prayer, the truth of his word and his Holy Spirit to help clean us out and heal us up. And in time, with our participation and submission to his love, even the hardest of hearts can be cleansed and made open again. He told us he would take out our heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. You see, I personally know this to be true. I have experienced all of these heart conditions, free and open, receiving and giving love of the Lord because my life was open and fresh in him. I've also experienced the pain of life. Many periods of my life where I felt clogged and full of hairy, fearful messes with only trickles of his love getting into me and through me to others. And I burned out. I've experienced the brokenness of pain and the sin and other sin against me that has made me feel beaten and broken and corroded. So that whatever love could get in just kind of trickled out through the cracks and the fissures. And I've had moments where my heart got hardened to God's love. Particularly when my heart couldn't see the Father God as love at all. False narratives of who God is can wreck us. But through it all, he has remained steadfast and faithful in his love to me. You see, by cooperating with his love through a wonderful community who will not let you fail, learning his truth and the work of the Holy Spirit's powerful deliverances, my mind and my heart have finally begun to see what my Father eventually saw. And for me, it's a miracle to experience the difference. I'm just so grateful I didn't have to wait to my 80s to experience it. And I pray that my heart will never get like this again. God is love. And his love is kinetic and powerful to transform any heart condition and fuel every life if the person is willing and submitted to him. As it is always working in any willing heart. As John put it, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. And through this love, we are able to do the rest of that great commandment. As John puts it, he's given us this command. Anyone who loves God should also love their brother and sister. See, God's commands still hold. We are still expected and even required by God to love him with all our hearts, minds, souls, and strengths, and to love others as ourselves, but we're not required to do this out of our own resources, out of our own will and effort. He flows in us so we can overflow out. His great love is our fuel, our resource. And through his love in us, he makes this command more than attainable. In time, with cooperation and submission to his powerful, transforming love, I believe he can almost make it effortless. I'm beginning to see glimmers of that in my own life. His love enables us to love him and to love others as we have been loved. The question is, will we let ourselves be loved by the Father God? Will we allow ourselves to see him as he really is? Will we choose to die to those false narratives? See, we cannot receive the love God has for us unless we allow it to come in. And it can't have its full power in us until we submit to it. Like any relationship, it grows with nurture and time and space. And I think there's a deeper knowing that God's inviting us into, where, like Jesus, we're so conscious of the love of the Father that love becomes our very source, our fuel for our life. So in conclusion, I want to share two best practices I've been recently experiencing to access God's love. To clean and restore our plumbing, the foundational ways are always good. We always need prayer and worship, learning to listen to God's word, community. We need deliverance to break the patterns of our old lives and the demonic holds that hold us in prison. And we're here to help you walk through those things. Small groups are beginning up again. And we can become a community online or in person. And as soon as we can safely be together again, we're going to be holding deliverance sessions, hopefully this year. Nothing replaces the basics for healthy pipes. They are God's Drano. But there are two practices that I've recently discovered that have kept the fuel flowing more freely into and out of me, preventing new buildup. Ready? First one, rest and recreation. Bet you didn't expect to hear me say that. Rest and recreation have been very hard for me in my life. Believing that God takes delight in the time I just invite him into and the things I enjoy. You know, when I started practicing rest and recreation, I honestly could not think of one thing to do because I didn't know how. I just didn't know how. And I, as I asked him, I'm like, what do I like? Like, what gives me joy? I don't remember, God. Can you show me? And so I started working on a woodworking project that I'm restoring a sign that was handmade with the name Moyer on it. And soon it'll be hanging in front of our house. And I've been really enjoying doing this with God. And it's not just because it's carpentry. And it's interesting because as I spend more time in rest and recreation, the missional and work and study stuff starts to become more joyful. It's really becoming wonderful. When I'm rested, I can feel his love flowing through me and more effortlessly out of me to others. The second thing that God's called me to do this year is remembering. I was getting ready to do my 24-hour retreat last month, and I asked God, how should I prepare for this? And he very clearly told me that he wanted me to spend some of that time writing a timeline of his faithfulness through my life. It was a great exercise. And tomorrow I'm going to finish the last decade. Because I've lived a long time, so I had a lot of decades to write. But it's amazing to see what we think is just sort of life being actually God's faithful interruptions of our daily lives with his power and his love. It's an amazing exercise. I totally recommend you guys do it. It's fun, too. So the conclusion from these two practices, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. I'm coming to know and rely on the love that the Father God has for me and for all of us, and to really believe that his love is the very fuel for our lives. I'm going to put a slide up here and just give us a minute to just think about this. Jesus said, whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Lord, we pray that you would pour your living water into us. And that we would become vessels like this. Where you just pour into us, restore us, heal us, fuel us. And where we could flow your love out. Because your love is so strong that it cannot be contained. Let your kingdom come, Lord.